From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's next great groundbreaking drama.
I'm trying to find out who killed our son.
One crime will affect so many lives.
You need to be the voice for people who do not have a voice.
American Crime, series premiere Thursday at 10, 9 Central on ABC. And experience the weekly American Crime Podcast hosted by Elvis Mitchell with an inside look at each episode. Subscribe now at podcast1.com/American Crime.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin! Bunch of us.
Pray, we pray, guys.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Delight.
Oh, singing.
Yeah. It's a naughty little song. Welcome to The American, Season 3, Episode 6, called Born Again. So, I am Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow. Everyone else on my panel, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
My name's Ben Bateman. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ben Bateman Media.
Guys, it's Josh Richmond, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Radio TFB.
Hey, it's Matt Ritter. You can follow me on Twitter at MattRitter1, and you can follow me around West Hollywood to my apartment if you like.
That's really creepy. Hopefully people won't do that.
Hans is right behind you.
Yes. As always, please, please, please subscribe to our iTunes channel, our SoundCloud. I was going to say Soundbox. I'm like Dropbox.
Dropcloud and SoundCloud.
YouTube. That SoundCloud.
We love having feedback. We definitely do hear your thoughts. Iron Man 19. I'm going to do my best not to discuss.
What?
Religion,
we are the most proud the atheist show on AfterBuzz.
Is there a bunch of God
haters here? That's all we are.
Totally not atheist, but Philip and Elizabeth are. With that note, first thoughts just of the show overall.
This was a really cool episode. Really, this was good. Great, pretty much across the board.
This was the best. I would say the best episode of the season so far. That's my personal opinion.
And considering, in my opinion, this is the best season, maybe this is the best episode
the best of
the
show.
Best.
Yeah,
of
maybe.
All time.
The best.
It doesn't have the weight of a finale or a premiere to the action excitement, but
no,
I think
it was killed.
Yeah, it doesn't have any of the action beats, but what's going on thematically is so interesting, tying all these characters together.
I guess what I mean is it doesn't get to crutch on that stuff.
Right.
It's just the minutiae of episode 6, and I think for that reason it makes it my favorite episode so far. I really, really enjoyed this one.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Talk about Jesus.
That's kind of where
I'm a Jew. I often get to talk about Jesus. This is very exciting for me.
Let's just go directly. let's actually just go ahead and start off with, we had some little touches of characters to start with the Nina storyline, the Stan storyline, and a little bit of Martha that we kind of were like ooh.
It's a male robot. The male robot's back.
Yeah.
So what was everyone's thoughts on that? Let's start off with Nina. With Nina finally betraying
the girl she was with.
Forget our predictions from last week. Did any of us get that right? How that was going to shake out?
Nina?
We assumed that there was going to be more of a physical or romantic seduction that we didn't actually see.
Is true. But I knew she was betraying her from the moment she started talking to that guy.
Do you guys ever have that moment when you're watching television or film where there's the physical chemistry between two characters and you sort of in your gut, you're like, are they going to kiss? And you're like looking around, you're like, I feel like they're... And I had that moment for a second, I was like, oh, are they going to... And then they didn't. And I was like, weird, because usually when you feel that in a show or a television, it usually happens.
I felt a tingle.
It was interesting, right?
They had a very physically affectionate relationship.
Yeah.
But no reason to doubt it goes past friendship. I think just when you're sharing close quarters with people, you know?
Yeah, it's just that intimacy. I never got that feeling from them. I got that more from watching Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch and
The Hobbit.
No,
those guys are definitely doing
Benny
and
the Hobbit. The villain.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that guy.
I can never see him. You know.
Yeah.
I don't watch that show.
The crazy guy.
Is it Moriarty or is it Moriarty?
Yeah, thank you. I don't watch that show. Moriarty.
Well, because I know the Arthur Conan Doyle books. Yeah, so I just I haven't watched
the show. Moriarty.
The show's good. It's really good.
So Nina did what she had to do.
She did.
I'm going to be honest. Oh, go ahead.
Pretty easily, though. A little too easily for me. Well, to be honest, too easy for me.
Yeah. I keep cutting you off.
I'm curious to see what you have to say.
So go.
If it's actually going to pay off for Nina in the long run. You know, if they just didn't get her to do that and then just leave her to rot.
Well, she has no leverage, right? So it's like, you could, right? It's like that thing where you just make her do another thing.
Exactly. Another thing, which is what people tend to do to Nina to begin with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What were you going
to
say, Ben?
I was going to say I continue to be kind of underwhelmed by the Nina storyline. Mm. Like, I feel like it's happening, and every time she comes on screen, I'm just sort of like, just get back to the part of the show that is interesting to me. Like, it's not that I don't think she could come back in as an interesting storyline. She was much more interesting in the first and second season. Mm. It's just that this season, it's one of those things where I feel like she's being kept around through this really sort of convenient plot device that I don't really particularly care about as a watcher.
There's a sense of pieces moving. Like, they want to get her, it seems like they want to get her back to America at some point, but first they have to figure out how, and they're just slowly drawing this out, because they're like, she's going to come back in the fourth season, probably in some big way.
Yeah.
But for now, they just got to go through the motions here.
Yeah.
I still think she's an interesting character, man. Because she was telling the truth a lot of the stuff that she was saying to the Belgian girl.
That's true. That is interesting.
And revealing parts of herself, but then she just goes, so ice cold, lights out, nothing behind those eyes, cold betrayal. It was brutal.
It was like a Where's Wallace moment from The Wire.
And she's super hot. They're going to keep her around.
Just for that reason.
Just because she's super hot.
Well, it has
did we not watch a super hot woman get her bones broken and shoved into a suitcase? Like, episode one.
Maybe that's coming for Nita.
That's like top. I think that's like top 10 most uncomfortable moments on television that I've ever seen is probably that. Like, I can't think of many things I've ever watched on TV that I was more just like, couldn't eat, except for the uncomfortable moments tonight that we will get to.
We will get to that, yeah. Well, just to kind of wrap up with Nina, how did everyone feel about Stan? It was. I always get, like, Stan's just such, like, a stern, stoic man. Whenever he has a love scene, I'm always kind of like, this is so different from what I'm used to seeing from Stan.
I felt slightly, like, awkward for the actors in that moment. I don't know. I was like, oh man, she's kissing Stan. Like, really? Like, so, like, she's really into it.
But it's also the kind of love scene I would imagine Stan having, where he's completely so in his own head that, like, it's clear to her. He's such an internal guy. Everything he receives, every piece of bad news he gets, just goes, like, locked in the vault, and he says nothing about it, and just makes him a little bit more, like, introverted.
I think it's also interesting that the commercial films that Noah Emmerich has gotten parts in over the years, he's never really the character that has scenes like that. He's always a coach, or he's like a father, and he's always one of these stronger male characters that...
Or a manipulator of
But I mean, he does have love scenes.
He never has his belt buckle pulled open on his couch with his wife's picture clearly in view.
Which was, I mean, ultimately kind of funny, but...
Yeah.
I definitely liked the scene at the dinner table. I thought that was funny with Tori.
I think that was one of my favorite. There were a lot of funny one-liners tonight.
Yeah.
I thought one of my favorite ones was when the kid was like, "That's so weird. What are you guys doing? That's weird." And then he goes, "Yeah, it is kind of weird." And she was like, kind of annoyed because that's her whole being.
Yeah. She laughed at it too. I thought it was really great for the show because I think. For the past few episodes, we've all been kind of going, what is that?
Yeah, how many times have we said that on this show and others should have said, we still don't know.
So it was great to see them kind of feel like, okay, well, it's not any easier for us to explain it. So.
We know it's kind of BS-y.
It's weird.
And it's weird.
Paige was in that scene saying, talking about her experience in church and saying, people think church is just about feeling sorry for yourself, but it's not. Which seemed like a little bit of a stab at Tori. Or at least at the entire Est philosophy, which does seem like it's a lot about people kind of feeling sorry for themselves.
I think it's actually the opposite of people feeling sorry for themselves. I think it's people holding themselves accountable for how they let other people make them feel. Sorry, I got really serious with that. But like,
yeah, no, I guess.
Just as I know someone who's like gone through that program and how they've reacted to it, it's like them having to constantly be accountable for how everyone makes them feel.
Well, anytime there's a self-awareness institutionalized program of any kind, whether you're talking about like an AA program or 12 steps, something like that, it's always a huge amount of introspection and then holding yourself and others incredibly accountable and being very, very aware of small things that maybe somebody who just innately is less aware is not going to pay attention to. So it's almost you overreact to everything.
I don't know. I'm
to
skeptical
extent,
of those
yeah.
things too. At a certain degree, it almost seems like you're making like best responsible for your emotions going through those kind of programs.
Well,
it's
why therapy is such like a rich business.
Paige is sort of like, that's her team, the church. Like, she's just doing that team. Like, that's her squad. She's like going to bat for them. You know, she's like, people think, you know.
Well, like, it's just like what people do for Est. It's not necessarily that Est is religious, but I think the way that people kind of, what it brings them or what it gives them as a person is very similar to what some people get out of religion.
And like what Paige says later, when we get to talk more about Paige, but where she says, after being baptized, or I just feel like I feel a presence with me. And it's just a little bit easier to kind of deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge part of what religion is it just makes a life, day-to-day life, a little bit easier and a little bit less lonely.
Yeah, and if that's what works for you, then kudos. If Est is what works for you, then kudos.
We got to take an AfterBuzz road trip to the Est Center.
Right?
Let's do it.
If having nothing is what works for you, kudos.
Yeah. Oh, please, Adrian, elaborate further.
Adrian is not an atheist.
Iron Man 19.
I'm not an atheist, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Buddhist. I don't believe in Hindu.
It should be noted really quickly because there was a fan from another after show I was doing who was very, very vocal early on about being opposition to some of our ideas. And as soon as we started interacting with that fan extensively, they became our biggest fan. So I should just point out,
it's definitely not us knocking. I'm not certainly not here knocking a fan. But because I did receive a message from this fan right before this show, and this entire show, or this particular episode, has been about just the what people believe in and how that structures their life and how, you know, that impacts their relationships with others.
Big
and
time.
So that's why we're commenting on it. Not commenting on it to tease anyone or to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm from a Southern Baptist family. If there's anyone who has respect for religion, it is I. Because I've seen it help people. I've seen it do lots of different things to people.
No, I am.
So that's all that I'm saying. It's not like
I'm not an atheist. No, I am not an atheist either. But yeah, just to engage with the themes of this show, you have to talk about religion.
You have to talk about those things.
And also feeling like, in many cases for like Philip and Elizabeth, that religion isn't what they need and that they want to do good in some other way.
Yeah.
Well, and talk this point to death, but the point I was making was essentially, if anybody does want to interact with us over any idea or point, it makes the experience for us and you far more entertaining to read a comment that is interesting to think about, because we almost for sure we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
How do you identify with Paige's viewpoint? I mean, tell us, you know?
I will argue with y'all on Twitter all day. I don't care.
Fuel's conversation.
I won't. But I will read what you say. and then I'll go.
What we're saying is send the more trolling ones to Josh.
Yes.
He's here.
At Radio TFB.
So on that note, with Stan, there was also that moment where he had a friend of his die.
Right.
And that kind of brought back to the forefront this need he has for Sandra. What was everyone's thoughts on that?
She ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
She ain't going to Chicago either.
He's still calling her his wife. He can't drop it.
They're still technically married. I can't knock him for still calling him, you know, for still calling her his wife. That's understandable.
It's just reinforcing that exactly the same male viewpoint we talked about last week. It's like, I can fix this, and he just hasn't let it go yet. That's there's an awakening. There will be an awakening moment, an epiphany that happens somewhere in this season where I think he does in some way let it go.
I think he has to.
Yeah, it'll happen, and they're not going to drag it out that long. I think I'm trying to figure out what the actual point of the death was, if it's to illustrate just yet again just another angle to show us that he's not over it and she's not coming back. I don't know if they're really doing that seems a little too obvious.
Potentially some sort of, you know, storyline. How did he die? I don't know.
Yeah,
was it a plane crash?
Yeah, it's right. I'm saying, was there some sort of foul play? I don't know. You know, you never know on a show like this.
They might touch on that a little bit more, because if anything, they might have it where she does go to Chicago, so I don't know. I think that's just kind of like with these three particular characters, Nina, Stan, and Martha, I think they were just kind of planting little seeds at this moment.
Definitely.
And they're gonna, you know. So with that, Martha, it was quick. It was so quick.
Martha and Adderholt, who we've barely seen over the last couple episodes.
Yeah, and Adderholt,
he's kind of sweet on Martha, right?
Yeah,
he's a little sweet on Martha. But that one moment of him saying that there will no longer be confidential files just lying around anymore. And I was like, she no longer is useful. She's no longer useful. So what do you guys think? They're going to kill her? They're going to do something?
I mean, I don't... Why would she die? For what reason would Philip kill her? I mean, she would have to do something.
She's going
to
go further.
If she
becomes a liability, he will have to kill
her. She's going to go further somehow. Yeah. She's going to take her role too far. You know, I mean, she's going to dig for something that she shouldn't have dug for.
So this means absolutely nothing, and it's kind of pointless to read the tea leaves from episode titles, but I do know episode 8 of this season is called Do Male Robots Dream of Electric Sheep?
Oh, nice.
Which means the male robot is going to have a role to play in some big way in the near future, and I don't know exactly what that
electric
is.
Electric Sheep?
Well, that's the Philip K. Dick reference.
Right. Okay.
It's that's
Blade
very,
Runner.
It's very interesting. I think... something I want to touch on with Marsha really quick, Martha really quickly.
Marsha.
Was that there, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, I think Allison Wright maybe alluded a little bit to something similar last week when we were talking to her, but there was something called the Secretary Initiative, which is where I think her character and her relationship to Philip is based. But apparently there was one secretary that was, you know, married to a spy, to a KGB agent. This is a real story that they drew inspiration from. And because of this, the KGB launched an entire initiative of KGB agents targeting specifically secretaries of high-ranking officials because they were these easy-to-target characters. Mm. And that's where Martha's character comes from. Mm. And I didn't know this, but so it's based in reality. There was actually an initiative launched, the secretary initiative by the KGB. It's documented. Which
a lot of people fall for their secretaries.
Is fascinating. That there's all these secretaries having these like secret marriages.
I also remember her saying, after the secretaries found out, 3 out of 4 of them killed themselves.
Killed themselves.
If you're wondering how she might be eliminated from the show, were that to happen.
Oh, she does have the gun.
Yeah. Exactly.
We also know that next week's episode is going to be a bombshell episode, according to Allison.
Yeah, directed by Noah Emmerich.
The preview. That was insane.
Yeah. I still stand by belief that she's making it all the way to the series finale. She is not.
I never said that I didn't think she was going to make it all the way to the series finale, but they gave her a gun.
They certainly did.
Gave her a gun.
Yeah, I mean, she only really... I didn't have many other thoughts about Martha this episode. She didn't...
Yeah, it was just a quick drop, and it was nice to see them kind of go with that, you know, there is this moment where the thing that she was being used for is no longer there, and so how does that play into everything, and what is Philip, a.k.a.
I like that when you're at home watching this show, you're probably thinking what we're thinking. Like, oh, now what?
Yeah.
I love that. You know, you're like, oh, man, this is now what? Now, yeah. Because you're like, what is she going to do now?
What can she do now?
I would like to talk about the two most interesting storylines of the episode.
We're going to do it, man. Patience. We're wrapping up.
Sorry, guys.
So with that note, because Ben is so anxious to get to it.
Sorry, Adrian.
How do we feel about Paige and Elizabeth?
Well, let's just start with that opening church scene, which I loved. I just loved the direction.
Hilarious.
It's such like, it reminded me a lot of me like getting my bar mitzvah. I mean, different religion, but still, it's just like, you know, this awkwardness of just seeing, you know, the teed up there. Except the parents would normally be in the front row, and Philip and Elizabeth are just sitting awkwardly towards the back, like, I don't want to be here.
I would say I was thinking Elizabeth could snap Pastor Jim's neck with her eyes from the back row. And I feel like they were dropping the hint that this was going to be the week that she takes that step forward just from her eyes, you know, just from the way she was viewing that moment. Like, I can't let this happen.
Pastor Jim's a very involved personality. He actually has his own Americans podcast. Do you guys know this? It's called Watching the Americans.
No.
He does a weekly podcast. Yeah, he runs.
You should tell our audience about a rival podcast.
No.
Watch both. Hey, we love everyone. Watch us. Listen to them.
Let's get him on our podcast.
We're proud to be part of the Americans podcast ecosystem.
Yes.
Yeah, it's important to get other people's points of view, especially actors that are on the show. Yeah. I loved the church scene. I actually thought it was really interesting, just like they had done with the tooth pulling scene. Mm-hmm. There was so much subtext from Philip and Elizabeth's eyes. I love how like you just really felt what they were thinking, and it was just hilarious and great. It was like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of it.
There's a lot of great reaction shots of this show.
Yeah, they're really, I mean, they're just great actors, those two. And I think the more I watch this show, the more I'm starting to realize just how good they are.
Yeah,
I complained, I think, early on that I didn't believe Elizabeth all the way, Carrie Russell all the way, and I think I take back my comments.
Good. She's awesome.
I just had that realization this episode. I'm like, Keri Russell's amazing actress.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
Really good.
I know, but I think it takes, you know, you like, hey, all of a sudden you have that realization because, you know, she was in other shows that, you know, didn't have these, like,
I've been a fan of Keri Russell since Felicity. I know a lot of people are like, eh, Felicity. She was the best part of Felicity. Like, when she cut her hair and then she was all awesome. It was awesome.
My big,
secretary,
like,
I'm not secretary, waitress. Great film.
My big, like, Philip and Elizabeth acting realization that I had tonight, and I will try to not tangent this too far, but was essentially, so I was listening to that this podcast, another one, and it was an interview with Matt Reese, and he has this thick Welsh accent.
The Slate Americans Insider podcast, which is amazing if you're not listening to
this.
This
was showrunners one. Yeah. It's really interesting to listen to, and he has this thick Welsh accent. So you think about, and he's a totally different personality, very high energy. So in the final scene of this episode, when they're talking and they're laughing, I was sort of imagining, like, to be able to go through all the characters that he goes through and really the context of their relationship is what makes this show so interesting, right? That's that's what you realize as you go through it. There's all the spying, but just the complexity of their relationship is what the whole show's about. And their moments when they talk to each other in the bedroom are often the most interesting moments in the entire show. So I was thinking, like, it's sort of this idea that, well, there's actors in Hollywood and they'd prefer to be in movies, but sometimes they end up in TV and it's like a step down or something, but there's still these incredibly talented actors. It's sort of like a player makes it to the NBA or something, and you imagine if he's on a team, he's a good player, but if he's the worst player on a good team, that, you know, he's not that good. But then you see him in practice when their shot's not getting blocked and they make every shot. It's like these guys, they're so talented. They're so good. You put them in these situations and you're, every once in a while you have one of these moments where you're just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that TV film thing is out the window.
I think that's kind of become obsolete because a lot of people have realized, a lot of film actors have realized, oh, I can do so much more now television.
Kevin Spacey's on Netflix.
Yeah. You know, so the world is changing.
Movies are where you go to put on a green screen suit and make money. TV is where you go to play like actual characters.
That is possible. That, you know, that is a side to it as well. But, you know, I think it's just that they're finally becoming equal. So it's not that one is necessarily better than the other, because you can definitely go and put on a superhero costume and be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter or something like that.
It's true.
And so it's leveling it where it's not like an us versus them. It's kind of like with theater, there's always been this kind of, I'm a theater, I'm classically trained, so I'm the artist.
I was trained.
And I am classically trained. But I don't, that doesn't mean I look down upon like film or television. You know, it's just a different approach to it. And it's a lot of fun. With that said, in any case, I felt with the church scene, you know, I've always thought baptisms are really beautiful. I always thought they are always just, like, really quick. So it is kind of like this moment they built up this whole time, and then she's dunked.
Yeah.
And she's...
And her head, I love the direction again of her head just, like, rising from the water, and she looks very beatific, very angel-like.
Yeah. She does.
But it propels both parents to make their move a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I like what you're saying. It's quick, but and it was at the beginning of the episode, and it's like, they both, like, it happened. It's done.
Because she's made her decisions, you know. That's it. She's steadfast.
It's like they waited too long to make their own moves, you know, almost.
Yeah. I remember the line while watching this episode, the line came in my head, religion is the opiate of the masses, which, if you don't know, that's a Karl Marx quote.
That's in this episode.
Was it in this episode?
I think maybe it's a similar line. There's a very similar line.
It might have been a similar line. But yeah, and the sense of, and coming up a couple times in the way that people talking about belonging to different groups and the comfort it gives them, and then kind of refuted by the very end by Elizabeth saying it's great the comfort you get from going to church, but sometimes you need there to really do things. You have to go a step further.
I think she was trying to find a way to show Paige that she understands and that she's more like her. And she said that I want you to see that I'm a lot more like you than you think.
Right.
And in a way that is kind of, I mean, her government is Elizabeth's religion. You know, that's what she stands by. That's
exactly
what she,
if you're a serious communist, communism is your religion. It's an anti-religious philosophy.
And a lot of the times, people do things in the name of their religion, you know, and there's that kind of like extreme approach to it, which it's interesting how they kind of toe the line with that of like, Well, sometimes in the greater good, the name of the greater good. I always think of Hot Fuzz. When
the greater good.
I'm like, the greater good. You know, of just like, well, what is the greater good? Is the greater good still good if you are venturing into murdering people and espionage?
She was choosing her words so carefully in that scene. She clearly wanted to say more, but she's like, we gotta really wade in here.
How do you say that? How do you
step into the shallow end.
I'm a Russian spy, sweetie. There's, and you are one too now.
There was definitely the moment where you were like, is she really going to just drop the bomb? And then screen goes black. I definitely really enjoy what they're doing with Paige. I think with this is each episode, I felt it a little bit more. But I love that they're having her play to the height of her intelligence as a child, which is like, that's such a great tool, because you can write a child as being kind of clueless or oblivious if you want to. It's a thing. It's an easy thing to do. You can get away with it. But I loved the scene when Elizabeth walked into the
her.
When she watches, she's Elizabeth smoking the cigarette, and I just love the way she reacts and just like exactly what she says. It's sort of hilarious. But it's because it's, you know, a child playing to the height of a child's intelligence. I mean, all she's doing is speaking eloquently. She's not saying anything crazy.
Kids are always smarter than you give them credit for.
Oh, yeah. She definitely had the moment where she became the mom. And whenever you have that as a kid, I remember having that moment with my mom on occasion where I would see something. And it would be that moment of like, oh, okay, in this moment, I am the adult.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
It's an unhealthy habit, and I wish you would change it, but I know this already. So
I love what you're saying about that, because then she took it a step further, and she's teaching her mom about life, you know, through her eyes, which is like, you would think that conversation would be the exact opposite about faith. And she's, you know.
Yeah.
And speaking of role reversal, how about Philip and Elizabeth sneaking off to smoke pot midway through the episode?
Awesome.
Amazing.
Awesome. His face when he pulls out the joint and he's just looking at her like and you can tell that it's one of those things where I think sometimes as an adult you're just like, I just need to do something that's so childish. Like sometimes I'll get home from work and I'm like, you know what? When I used to have roommates, I'd be like, we need to do shots. And it's just one of those moments you're like, I have to do shots right now. And it makes you just feel good. It's so silly and it doesn't mean anything. And it was nice to have that scene with them, like, smoking outside of the window and just laughing. Like
just watching them getting the giggles was, especially Elizabeth, who you rarely see like that.
Yeah.
It was a great scene. It was a great scene. That was the scene that made me think of the whole, like, you know, masterclass actors thing.
Oh,
I was
just
sort of thinking about throwing an average TV actor into that scene, and they would just never be able to hold their own.
Totally. You feel like the two actors are having a great time.
Exactly.
Like, well, they also have a lot of chemistry, and, you know, they
that's
have
important.
Years
you know,
of working
like,
together.
Yes. Yeah.
And it shows, you know, totally.
Yeah.
Like that was great. Jesus really came through for me.
It's just great. It was funny. The lines were literally. We all laughed. I mean, it is, you know, you're laughing with them. It's great.
It was a beautiful moment, and I know we'll switch. And are you guys ready to go into Philip and Kimberly?
Yeah.
Anyone else have any final thoughts on Paige and Elizabeth?
You know, my final thought was, well, I guess it sort of leads into Philip. You know, they sort of had a tug of war over her. This episode over Paige, you know, I mean, Philip made his move first.
Yeah.
And she didn't totally get where he was coming, you know, she didn't really understand the context of what he was saying because he didn't go far enough, sort of.
I mean, neither one have gone far enough.
But I think she
really
went
good.
Further.
She did.
Yeah. Anna Paige was also more receptive to Elizabeth, I think, since the beginning, because I think the final end of the episode is true. I think Paige is more her mother's daughter than her father's.
But I will say what Philip did was very smart. It wasn't something where he needed to kind of be like, this is what's going to happen and you should be aware. He was just kind of instilling in her, sometimes things will come to you and you need to just stand by who you are and make your own decisions for yourself, no matter who is telling you or trying to convince you otherwise. So he just planted a seed. So as things start to develop, I think that'll kind of be like reinforced in her of like, but no, this isn't what I stand by. This isn't what I believe in.
He's also completely undermining the mission.
That's very true.
You know,
I just can't completely, which is why Frank Langella, which is why Gabriel trusts in Liz. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Oh,
I know.
Hit me, okay.
It was really interesting to see how he interacted with Philip versus how he interacted with Elizabeth.
Yeah, big time.
So when Philip came in, he's like, no leftovers. He's like, sorry, you want coffee? But when Elizabeth was there, he had wine, he had salad, he had, you know, an entree. I was like, wow, this is such a very big difference between how he feels about them. You can tell by just how he treats them.
How he feels, too, but I also think how he handles.
Yeah.
You know?
He's got different tactics. I bet Philip wants Claudia to come back at this point. He's like, I'm kind of Gabriel.
Well, Phillip's also very, I mean, they're both very smart. And Gabriel, it's not like Gabriel is somehow smarter than Phillips. When he says those things like, you're the best, or, you know, we want, it's, he, I think he knows he's being manipulated by him.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going over his head or anything like that. Yeah, train of thought. Anyway, you're saying.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see if they bring back Phillip's son.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you guys interpreted that line. I interpreted that line as blackmail.
No, they referenced it. I think it was season two when, was it Arena?
Arena,
when
yeah.
Arena was there. She did make a slight reference to, you know, I have a son.
Oh, no, I remember that. I'm just saying Gabriel just dropping that bit of knowledge right
there.
Yeah,
it was totally blackmail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was totally like, you will sleep with this 15-year-old.
Right, because we know about your son.
And he's at war. He's somewhere. Did they say he was in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Something could happen in Afghanistan, and they could use...
So that was definitely blackmail.
Here's my only question. Mm-hmm. I understand that they are... It's a tug of war, and they have their orders from their government, but what do Phillip and Elizabeth really think is going to happen if Paige finds out? Like, what do they really think that's going to go over well? That's what I keep trying to think about. Like, when they're, oh, I'm going to go ahead without you. It's like, somehow, do they not understand that if she just decided to like buck the trend, everything just goes?
They do. That's why they're slow playing it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's why they're hesitant.
Phillip doesn't think it's going to go well. Phillip's been saying that from the beginning.
Why does Gabriel and why do those guys think that somehow this is a thing that's going to work?
Like, well, because they're the best, you know, manipulators in the world, and it's their daughter and love.
But
you know,
that is stupid on their part, because the last person they told, he killed his entire family.
Right? Yeah.
It's
just crazy to me.
It doesn't always go well.
I think the biggest when I watched the Paige and Elizabeth scene, I was kind of like at the end there. I was kind of thinking, what is Elizabeth going to do if Paige turns on her? Is she going to be okay with killing her own daughter? Because that's pretty much what they would probably have to do.
That's what I'm sort of saying, right?
Yeah.
That's the part of me that's like, what? What's
so
the best motive I can come up with for the KGB is desperation. You know, we're in like the waning days of the Cold War here. We know the future. We know that the Russians are eventually going to lose, and they're not doing well in Afghanistan. I think they just want to recruit whoever they can and get whatever foothold they can.
It definitely seems like an act of desperation.
Would she kill Paige? That's a question.
Yeah.
So would she kill Paige versus what would Phillip do?
If anybody had to kill Paige, Liz would do it.
And what is Phil going to have to do is the better question.
Well, so
let's get
thoughts on Phillip and Kimberly.
When she dropped that towel, I was like, "What? How is he going to get out of this situation?"
Okay, but it was so beautiful.
It was great.
It was so beautiful what he did, and I just it brought joy to me to just watch him just pull like the best abstinence card I've ever seen pulled in my life.
That one, really that reminded me of a lot of girls in high school pulling that card on me.
When you were in high school.
What?
when you were in high school, right? My first boyfriend.
When I was wearing those thick glasses.
He looks like Phillip, like his outfit as Jim Baxter. It's probably my favorite costume he's played in so far. It feels like he should be with his arms crossed, like on the cover of like he's like Rick Springfield or some ridiculous like some like just awesome 80s lead singer of a band. But it's like actually a 70s band, and now he's in his, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that reminds me too. Did you see Paige taking down her Rick Springfield poster and putting up like a Paris poster?
Totally.
I wonder what that means. Why is she under Paris
all
of a sudden?
Maybe thinking about studying abroad.
Maybe. I'm also upset that they didn't spend any money on music licenses this week.
Pink Floyd's up there.
You know,
it feels like he's the lead singer.
It would have been very expensive.
It feels like he's the lead singer of Cheap Trick in like 1988, like after they've peaked, and he's got like the leather jacket, and the glasses, and the hair. That's like what I keep seeing.
He does. He looks like such a scumbag. He looks like the kind of guy who would be like seducing a 16-year-old.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Surrender.
You guys, this is the episode where it is kind of made clear that this is has to happen. And when she did drop that towel, it was kind of like, and like the other Russian spies in the other room, like finishing up stuff.
He doesn't want her to want him. Sorry, one more Cheap Trick joke. That was
yeah.
So it was kind of that shock of seeing this extremely sexual 15-year-old come on to this 30-something-year-old man. And
she 15 or 16?
She's 15 going on 16.
We don't know when her birthday is, right. But it was 15.
She's not old enough to drive yet.
Yeah, so she's 15 going on 16.
I like how he tried to talk himself into it with Liz when he's like, well, you know, until she's older, like eventually, like he's going to buy himself enough time.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I don't think there's ever going to be a moment for Philip where Kim is not going to look or seem like his daughter.
Right,
so it doesn't matter if she gets older. I think that's just always going to be in the back of his mind that she's only a year older than his own daughter.
Yeah. Which makes dropping the God card all the more skeezy. Even if it is a beautiful moment, it's also him confusing his daughter and the teenage girl he's supposed to seduce to an unprecedented degree. So
well, he does a really interesting thing of kind of using his own life with Kim that he doesn't do with other people. So even when he's talking about how the reason he's found God is because his son, you know,
he couldn't even tell Elizabeth that, but he's telling this girl.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see how he uses the truth that he really does need to share
to
get close to Kim. So, yeah.
It was definitely when he puts the towel on and he's hugging her, it was, and she starts crying. It was just a beautifully sad and uncomfortable moment, because I think not only that, you were sort of like, he dodged a bullet, but you're also like, this is a thing that's going to have to happen eventually, and you kind of know it, and it just, I mean, I wrote down brutally uncomfortable, and then I just underlined it like 3 times. I was like, oh God, this is just so hard to watch.
I just like how they reversed it so quickly, where Gabriel was like, yeah, no, it's happening.
Yeah, when Gabriel said,
it's
like,
on, you are having sex with that girl.
It's weekly. I almost felt like, are you just doing this just to make him uncomfortable? Like, are you doing it because he's so resistant?
I think it's also a test. I think you're right. I think part of it is like, we are testing your discipline, your faith in what we are doing.
Yeah.
It's got to be. It can't just be that he has to recover the tapes weekly.
There's
can
no
it?
Way he needs to do that weekly. I think monthly would suffice. So it does feel like they're kind of just making sure that Philip is on board.
After he sleeps with her, they're going to be like, actually, monthly is fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, and then, no wonder he's smoking so much pot. He's going to be like a total stoner by the end of the season. He can't deal anymore.
Yes. Agreed.
I don't know.
I like the way she blew him off outside of school.
That's good.
Yeah, that's very much.
Sorry, like, loser. You're not into me. I'm not into you.
I have a lot of stuff to do tonight. You know,
yeah.
I'm really busy.
She's on top of her. I was not that on top of my stuff at 15. I mean, I was kind of. I was a nerd. But,
I just like that he's had to like. You know, he's almost talked himself. He's basically looking for a way to screw it up, and that's the thing, is he's looking to fail because he wants to be able to come back and say, "Well, I tried and it didn't work."
Oh, for sure. On some subconscious level, at the very least, he's like, I want her to reject me. I want to
say, but she's 15, so that's the mind of a 15-year-old. It's like if he doesn't want you, you just want him more. So that's going to not work, and that's the whole thing. It's like being back in high school again. You know what I mean? It's just these. It's like it's reverse psychology, and he can't win. It's hilariously sad to watch. It's just tragic. What I'm wondering is, how many episodes are we going to have to watch where these scenes are this way? Like, are they going to make this a season-long thing?
I think we're getting close to boiling point, if you want to call it that. The moment of truth.
Who knows what's going to happen next week, but it seems like next week's going to be some sort of breaking point in a number of ways.
Yeah, I think last week's going to be not as much a focus on Kim, which is fine by me. I could kind of use a break from screaming or squealing.
It's a mix between screaming and squealing. It's squeaming.
Squeaming. Yes. Squirming. It just made me really uncomfortable to watch that whole scene. Even though the actress is in her 20s, it's still...
As our fan pointed out.
Yes. It's still not comfortable to watch it when you know that it's the perspective of a 30-something-year-old man approaching a teenager.
It's nice, I mean, the way we keep talking about the complexity of Philip and Elizabeth, which, again, I think, like, this episode really made me realize in that final scene that's why this show is good. And I think when you hear the premise, if you're selling the show to your friend, say, this is what the show's about. It's about this American, or this Russian couple that's married and they live in America, they're spies. But it's really like the fact that they're spies is what makes it interesting. But their relationship is what the whole show is about.
Oh yeah,
the rest of it is.
I think too, and that plays into him telling Elizabeth what's going on with Kimmy.
Yeah,
like she's feeling that.
Yeah,
for the first time, like they're a couple now. Like they love
each
other.
Uncomfortable.
Like for the first time, like they really have a somewhat real marriage.
How many marriages do you talk? I mean, how many marriages do you come home and talk about your other marriage yeah. or talk about the girl you're
yeah.
dating?
Yeah. But it never really meant anything to them until recently.
This was my day at work. Today, how was yours?
No, yeah, it was interesting for them to also bring up Gregory again, because that I think that was a relationship for Elizabeth that kind of made Philip feel the way that she is feeling now. Right. Whenever she would go to deal with Gregory, you could always sense that he would just be really uncomfortable or jealous or frustrated.
With good reason.
Because she did almost leave him, yeah. For Gregory. So it was nice to kind of have that just lightly touched upon when she's talking about recruiting.
They do such a
Paige.
Good job of that, where they don't have to give you he said, she said.
Yeah.
They just remember this. It's like when you think somebody has like a leg up or, you're feeling bad for somebody. You're like, well, actually, you know what? Like she did this and now he's doing this. And that's just the way it goes.
And it really is done so often just with the face and without dialogue. Yeah. So much is coming through just from the actor's expressions. It's very impressive.
A small reference to something, which, just making that small reference makes you think back. And they do a really good job of always leveling the playing field. You know, it's never... this is what it's like for a man, this is what it's like for a woman. It's like, no, we actually go through very similar things.
Yeah.
We behave and react in very similar ways. So it's really nice for them to kind of play on that and have this moment for Elizabeth be so testing of I don't want him to sleep with this woman or this girl. I don't want him to do this.
On a relationship level and also just like on a moral level. The only thing that I'm sort of wondering going forward, as well as I talked about how long is it going to be uncomfortable with, but also the line of realism with him and Kimberly, I'm just wondering, because I keep having these moments where I'm like, well, she wouldn't accept that, or he wouldn't be that strong-willed, or she wouldn't buy that, or she'd kick him out if he didn't do it, or et cetera, et cetera. And I know that you can lean on a lot of she's 15 and he's much older and much more manipulative, but at the same time you're just sort of like, how many times is this going to be too convenient? Because it's how many situations can you be in a bedroom with somebody who's just intent on that, where they're going to let you get away with it?
I think they've only done it twice,
right?
Mm-hmm. Where he's been in the bedroom. And I also think that it's not, for me when I watch it, it's not unrealistic. There is, though she might be adamant, I was at one point a 15-year-old girl, and when there was a moment for me where there was definitely like a bedroom and a boy and a time, and I was like, I can't do this. And shooting out of the bed and
to
running.
To me, in some ways, it's a more believable relationship for a 15-year-old. And I can actually see how that's complete catnip to be like, there's this guy who says he really, really wants me, but he's so messed up he just can't, and I have to rescue him.
Just 15-year-olds, but women go for that. They're like, I will save you.
Yeah, it's also, it might be a relief, too. She's 15. A lot of girls are like, I think I want to do this. I don't know if I want to do this. Has she ever had sex before?
And all the insecurity of her kind of, when he put the towel on her and she's like, well, is it me or is it me? So it's a very realistic conversation from what I've personally experienced and what I've known from my friends to experience of like, okay, that's not something that I just don't believe at all. It's not like with Stan and Oleg where I was kind of like, what? Yeah. Why would he talk to Oleg?
Yeah, I remember I was 15, I dropped a towel and the girl was like, we can't do this ever. It's God. Jesus says, like, I cannot do this.
Oh yeah. Hans is in this episode doing something I have no idea where it's leading either.
Oh yes.
I totally forgot about that.
With the South African
redhead. He's
not South African, but he's dealing with South African?
No, I think he is South African.
Is that South accent's African? A little muddled.
Yeah, it's a little muddled.
Not Hans. We didn't hear the South.
But that guy, what's his name, in the car with Liz, what's his name?
Hans.
He's Russian.
Yeah.
He is? I thought he was South African.
Yeah, his accent's bit muddled.
He's talking about how that he noticed a kid who he thinks may be a spy working with the South Africans.
Right.
And how they're, I guess, planning to use that against the U.S. because Reagan.
Siding with the pro-apartheid. What are they called? The
anti-apartheid.
It's another one of these. The whole situation is just another one of these Easter eggs they're giving you to set up something in the future that's not supposed to.
Yeah, they're going to set it up later. Right. So and they are going to touch on the 19-year-old spy next episode. So they do. There's like a torture scene or something with him.
Ooh.
So that'll be interesting.
You know what? I was just going to say. Historically, I think it's kind of interesting. I was reading a great article about the Americans on Grantland by Holly Anderson. We should give her a shout out for pumping up our favorite show. But one of the things they said was, you know, maybe some people are having a hard time rooting for Russian. Like, why isn't this show more popular than it is? Maybe people are I think it's funny, just historically, if you look at it, like, oh man, America was kind of on the wrong side of history there in a couple
of ways. At least for that one moment, that's certainly true. Yeah.
You know?
They do, it is interesting to kind of look back at that time and how the U.S. interacted with the Middle East then and how we interact with them now.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, you see them talking about how, you know, Russia is relating to Afghanistan and the killings that are happening, and it's interesting.
Yeah, back when Afghanistan was Russia's problem and not ours.
So it is kind of, they do a really good job of how, you know, hindsight's 2020. Like, we can say all these things about, well, the Russians this and the Russians that, but
It ties into the theme of the show where it's like, we don't know if there's right or wrong. It's just there's duty. It's like there's sacrifice. Like, this episode was about sacrifice and religion, you know? It's like you just have to take it on faith. Like you were saying, religion, sometimes country is religion. You're taking it on faith that you're getting orders to do this thing, and you don't know how the dominoes of world, you know, global.
It is kind of about what is the greater good, but what is the greater good to you? That just your greater good is not someone else's greater good. Yeah. Sometimes that your greater good is their evil.
Yeah.
So greater good.
The greater good.
And that's, I mean, ultimately the conversation at the end of the episode was about that.
Yeah. They do a really excellent job of kind of everything, there's no black and white. Everything lives in the gray.
Right.
So.
Which is what the world is really like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Actually, I see it in color. I don't know how you guys see it.
You do?
I actually see in a slight
I see it just a grayscale. You know,
just it's like a grayscale.
You're like a snake.
I see thermal imaging with the Terminator.
Yeah. With that, shall we go ahead into predictions?
Well, let's do it.
Okay. I was like, all right, Matt, we'll start with you.
I am going to make a prediction that Philip is going to be the one that somehow breaks it to Paige that they are Russian spies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I can
good
see one. That.
Interesting.
Like he's like driven to it somehow.
Somehow.
I think Paige is initially going to react badly, and then by the end of the season, she's going to come around.
A comrade?
She's going to become a comrade.
Mm.
I think Martha's usefulness is no longer paramount, and I think she's going to be pushed to do something that's going to get either her or Philip caught. And that will result in her death.
Ooh.
She's making it all the way to the end. I'm sticking by
it. It might take the end of the season, but she's going to die at the end of the season. By the end of season 3, Martha will be dead.
Whoa.
Wow.
My prediction.
Just drop the mic right there.
Please don't actually drop the mic.
It's a pen.
Just throw a mic across the room. I feel that someone is going to die.
That's a pretty specific prediction.
I'm not guessing.
Go big. Go big, Adrian. Go big.
I'm hesitant to say it's going to be Martha. There was that preview. There was just so much that went on. And they're building up to something really epic. And I feel like this is a season where people will be found out. So it's kind of like that moment where you watch Breaking Bad and Hank reads the book.
Right.
And you're like, what?
So you're saying Stan's going to do the thing?
So this is that. It's going to be that moment where it's just everything's going to kind of come crashing down, you know?
Yeah,
that just made me think, like, oh man, I can't wait to find out what that version of the book is.
Yeah. It has to be, whether it's Stan, whether it's Paige telling Stan, you know, that could be the big thing that happens is that once Paige finds out, she turns on them and turns them into Stan. That'd be crazy.
Well, we all know that eventually we will have to deal with the Stan chasing them storyline. That's a thing that will eventually happen.
But I don't think it's happening this season.
No.
I don't think it's happening this season, but I think that the seed could be planted.
I honestly think it's going to be, I said this last week, I think it's going to be the mission with Kimmy. She's going to find out somehow, and that's what's going to get Philip cut.
Okay.
Remember that bug sitting in a briefcase? Somebody's going to find it. Something's going to happen. Maybe. We don't know what.
Maybe. So with that said, where can everyone find y'all?
You can go to my website, mattrittercomedy.com, and just tool around on there. A lot of funny stuff.
Okay.
And while you're tooling around on the internet, you should also tool around at joshrichmond.net. And also, I'm at Radio TFB on Twitter.
You guys should go to my website, twitter.com/BenBabyMedia. And I have an Instagram, BenBabyMedia, as well.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow, or you can check out my website at adrian-snow.com. All right.
I'm hogging out.
With that said, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Americans After Buzz show, and we will all see you next Wednesday.
Bye. I'm so thirsty.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.